Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
VoiceOver Coffee Shop, episode number 30.
Welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we share our morning with some of the finest names in voiceover. And now, here's your host, voice actor Andrew Morrison.
Hi there. My name is Andrew Morrison, and welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we start our day with some of the finest names in voiceover. If you'd like to know more about me, feel free to visit my personal website at www.andrewdmorrison.com. In this episode, we have coffee with my dear friend, Andy Field. Andy has been the voice of tons of video games, from Paladins, Contagion, Avengers, Driven, and is likely most well known for his role as Hand Unit in Five Nights at Freddy's Sister Location. In this episode, we talk about the voiceover hustle, the billion-dollar e-learning industry, statistical advantages of being early on video game auditions, and balancing voiceover and your personal life.
What's up?
Andy? How are you this morning?
That's an awesome introduction. Tons of video games. That's funny. I've heard people before say, yeah, he's established himself as a prolific video game actor. And I'm like, I don't know about prolific, because there's some guys out there that really, you know, have hundreds and hundreds of credits, but it's been fun, and video games are definitely the most fun, I think. They're when those auditions come along and when those gigs come along, they're the ones that you sit down and you're like, man, this job is fun. This is really fun.
So when your morning starts, how do you take your coffee in the morning?
Usually with a bit of flavored creamer, which is funny because it's like, who cares what flavor, you know? But recently I discovered, I think it's Community Coffee, has a pecan pie flavored coffee that's pretty good, just straight black. But if you throw a little French vanilla in there, then it's like eating pecan pie with vanilla ice cream on it. And then but in the middle of the day, I tend to take my coffee black. I just want something hot for my throat, something to kind of keep me alert. And all the sweeteners and things kind of make your mouth sticky when you're recording anyway.
Right.
I only use sugar-free flavored creamer anyway. My wife's diabetic and I don't need the sugar. I'm getting old, man. Sugar does different things to your body after age 30 than it did when you were invincible in your 20s. But, and I'm well past 30 and 40 and just turned 50. So I'm at the point in my life now where all those commercials on TV for, hernia mesh suit lawsuits, orthopedic shoes, investing in gold and silver, all those are for me now. All those commercials with 70-year-old actors, Relief Factor, Pat Boone really pitches Relief Factor a lot, which apparently is some magic elixir that keeps you from hurting. I don't see it happening. The pain comes around age 38 and it stays.
It's probably just THC, to be honest.
You know, that would make sense. That's funny.
So you, yeah, started,
You started in education, and you're still a colonel in the military, correct?
So yeah, I got my bachelor's and master's degrees in elementary education. I was a middle school teacher for forever. I took some breaks in the taught in college and all that stuff. And I've always been in the Army Reserve, or the National Guard and the Army Reserve. They're mm-hmm. kind of the same thing, sort of. For the purpose of this podcast, they are the same thing. I've done that 32 years. And as a result of that, I ended up teaching military science at a couple of universities as well. And I am retiring this year. I'm excited.
Congratulations.
And if you're a part-time soldier, which is what the Guard and Reserve are, you don't get a retirement check until you're 60 or close to 60. So there's not that coming in. So you kind of get trapped, and you got to figure out a way to live without the income from your one weekend a month of duty. Or there's a lot more than one weekend for a lot of guys. The Louisiana National Guard, for example, is on active duty right now for that hurricane. But, you know, there's those call ups and all that stuff, but it's been a blast. It's those two career paths have certainly influenced everything about who I am as a person and as an actor. And they've really impacted a lot. I miss the kids. I miss teaching. I went full time in 2017 in voiceover. I miss middle schoolers. They're fun people. They're adolescents are they don't know who they are yet. They're trying to figure it out. They're awkward, and they're goofy, and they're funny, and they're just fun to be around. So the Five Nights at Freddy's games allow me to go to Comic Cons and meet them, because that's who really is standing in line to get an autograph from a Five Nights at Freddy's voice actor, isn't
it? Oh, my son. Absolutely.
An 18. Well, you don't look old enough to have a son old enough to like Five Nights at Freddy's. How old is your son?
He's 5.
He's 5.
Well, he's 6. My daughter's 5. My daughter just turned 5. He's about to be 7.
I meet those every now and then. There's a 5-year-old enthusiast that just knows everything there is to know about the franchise. And sometimes there's a 40-year-old, but typically they're teenagers or early 20s, because the games have been around for, you know, 5, 6, 7 years now. I don't know how long exactly, but so you meet people and they're just so excited, but it's so fun to interact with them just for a minute. And it reminds me how fun it was to be a teacher, but it also reminds me that it sure was fun to talk to that kid for 5 minutes. And now I'm glad they're gone, and I don't have to raise them or teach them or live with them or walk them to the lunchroom or break up a fight between them. You know, those kind of things that you had to do as a teacher. Right. But the great part of kids, I still get to experience at the Comic Cons usually. And it's awesome.
So what is your voiceover origin story, if you will? Like, where did you like discover it? This is a job, and kind of make that leap.
So when you meet a lot of voice actors, they say, well, I was an actor, not a voice actor. And I fell into voiceover, and it's become a thing. I had no idea that voice acting was acting. I had 4 jobs. I was a teacher, an Uber driver, an Army reservist, and my wife and I owned a tutoring business. We had about 45 students a week coming through our tutoring business. We had employees, like we had tutors working for us, like certified teachers. And that was a pain. And we were broke. I mean, I had those 4 jobs and we were just flat broke, just trying to get all the bills paid. We lived in an expensive little town in Mississippi. And I was imitating the football stadium announcer, you know, and I said, that's another first down. And my wife was like, oh my gosh, you should be an announcer guy. And I had entertained that before. I've been the MC at things and the announcer at things in the Army. The Army always picks me to be, you know, we want you to be the MC for this, or can you announce the change of command ceremony for the general and all this? And can you read these awards? So I've done that numerous times, kind of the live announce things. And I've always thought, yeah, I'd like to be somebody that did that. Maybe I'd be a DJ. That's all I associated it with. I didn't want to be a DJ. It seemed like a pain, and it didn't pay any better than being a teacher. I sure wasn't going to do a career shift for that. But right. My wife said, you should be an announcer guy. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go look into that, because I got 4 jobs right now. I sure would like to get rid of 1 or 2 of them and replace it with being an announcer guy. That would be a good side hustle and to put on the side of teaching. Hmm. So I Googled it. I mean, I didn't voiceover artist. I didn't even know what to call a voice, you know, so I just kind of Googled some of that. And, you know, the stuff that popped up on the web that isn't necessarily the best stuff, but it's the stuff that dominates the search engine results. And I just read. I mean, I read for an hour or two about all this stuff. And I went down to my wife and I said, you know what, baby, I it looks like with the internet, this was 2013. I was like, with the internet, it looks like I might could do some of this voice stuff. I'm going to need a little money. That's always terrifying when you're broke to say, I'm going to have to invest some money in the hopes of making some more money. Yeah, you know, I need a microphone and, you know, there's a couple of sites that I wanted to pay memberships on. So voices.com had a $10 trial membership for the first month. And then it was like $30 or $40 a month after that. This was back before it was just $500 a year. And it's, if you're listening to this, that's not necessarily the best site to be on. That's not the best site to be on, not even necessarily. But that's where I was because they dominate the search engine results. And so I paid that $10 and that was scary. $10. And I was like, babe, and they're going to charge me $40 next month. But if I get one job, I could make that.
Right.
So I had a microphone left over from when I was a drummer in a band in college. It was a Shure SM57. And I bought a little $30 interface to run through it to my work computer. And I bet you I did 250 auditions that month. I mean, I was up until 1 a.m. It didn't matter if the specs didn't fit me. It didn't matter if it was African American. It didn't matter if it was Spanish accent. If it was a child voice, British accent, I didn't care. I was doing it all. Somewhere near the end of that month, I realized that that interface didn't even work with that laptop. I was just recording through the built-in mic on the laptop. But by that point, I kind of had my groove on. I at least knew how to save a file in GarageBand. I was using GarageBand.
Okay.
And I wasn't even using Audacity. And I kind of had my groove on and I figured it out. And we had kind of, you know, got a little extra money here or there from something. It wasn't from VoiceOver. And I told my wife, you know what, baby, I'm going to sell this interface, get it back. I'm going to buy this cheap microphone. So I bought a little $100 and $150 USB mic and I got going. No interface. And still didn't get much. You know, it took another month or two. I was getting, you know, a free thing here or there. Man, I voiced a Star Trek fan fiction that was so bad. Like, I am embarrassed to share it with anyone. Even then, I think I was at least in the top two voice actors out of the 20 that were on that thing. And I had never booked anything. It was clearly something made by this guy who made a Star Trek fan fiction so he could be the captain in his own fan fiction, because he was bad. And of course, everybody in the thing was recording from home. So some of it sounded good. Some of it was overcompressed. Some of it sounded like they were in the bathroom. I mean, you just couldn't tell. And then I picked up something on Craigslist for $75 and here and there. And then finally I booked a $100 gig to be the zombie voices in the video game Contagion. But that didn't boost my confidence, because I'm just like, well, that's zombie voices. So I still don't know if anybody wants me to be a voiceover, right, you know? Right. And so the next month I got $175 to voice a 17-minute narration on how to fill out IRS form I-9. It was riveting. It was spellbinding. But $175, I thought, you know what? This is more money than the pay raise I got for getting my master's degree as a school teacher. If I made $175, I would got a $1,500 a year pay raise for earning that master's degree. $175 a month is more than that. I thought, this is it. This would be a pretty good side hustle. If I get one or two of these a month, I'd be okay. And that client hired me twice more over the next 2 months. And I thought, yeah, this is worth doing. Never mind the fact that I was just working my butt off up until the wee hours of the morning to get that $175. But right, slowly but surely, here came another little $150 gig, $200 gig, yada, 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 and all that. And during all that time, I kept reading and kept studying and kept trying to figure out. I knew I wasn't where I needed to be in that industry. I knew I needed a demo. I knew that I wasn't really, I knew I needed coaching. I knew all that. And it was just a matter of, you know, scraping up the cash to get a little bit of that done at a time and to make it all happen. But I didn't just sit there, you know, making several hundred dollars a month on these cheap sites thinking, this is it. This is where I need to be. I mean, I realized the potential for a real career was there. And really within about 6 months to a year, my mentality shifted to, I'm not just a teacher who does voiceover. I'm a voice actor who's teaching, and one day this teaching thing is going to come off my plate. It helped that I wasn't trapped by my retirement. I only had a few years in my teaching district at that point. And so it wasn't like, oh, just two more and I can retire, or oh, five more, I can retire. I was at a point where it wouldn't have hurt to quit. You know, if you're 18 years into a career that has a 20-year pension, That's not time to go full-time voiceover, right, no matter right. how good you are. Get that free money, get that pension. That's kind of how I started. And it just kind of, that was 2013, early 14. So here I am almost 8 years in, and it's, I can't imagine ever doing anything else. It's amazing.
So what is the bulk of your work now? Is it more video games? Or are you still doing like quite a bit of e-learning? Like what
the bulk is e-learning. Oh, and when I say the bulk, there's so much e-learning to do out there. I mean, I read 2 or 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, that e-learning was on track to be a $250 billion-ish dollar industry by 2024. That number's up in the $300-$500 billion now, and it's scheduled to be a $1 trillion industry by 2030. COVID, e-learning exploded during COVID, and it's really exploding just because of the ubiquitous nature of the internet. If you've got a company with employees, even if they're all in the same place, but especially if you have a company with employees in different places, it's worth the money to get uniform training for them all. Every cook at every Pizza Hut in the country knows how much cheese to put on a pizza, and that's because of e-learning. I worked at Pizza Hut when I was a kid, and I watched a VHS tape of how to put the cheese on the pizza, and that's e-learning. It wasn't called that back then, but the idea was, let's do some cheap standard training that everybody gets, so everybody's doing everything the same way. If you've got 250 employees all over the globe, you want to make sure every one of them knows your company's policy on sexual harassment, right? Which should be don't do it, but it's usually a much longer class than that. And so e-learning is just exploding. So it is the bulk of my work, mainly because there's just so much of it, and mainly because it pays so well. I tell my students all the time, e-learning is how you can afford to be at your house so that you can be first when the video game auditions come in. Because there's a statistical advantage to being early on any audition. Because if they listen to you early and they like you, then you're the standard that everyone else has to meet. Right? So if you're casting for a video game and you're excited about it, as soon as the auditions come in, you're starting to listen to them. So if you like the third guy best, everybody after the third guy has to be better than the third guy, right? Doesn't matter if you were the best and you were 55th, in their brain, they're still thinking, yeah, but you got to be better than that third guy. They may not even get to 55. They may just say, you know what? I've listened to 30 bad auditions now. That third guy was good. Let's go with that third guy. And that happens a lot, as you know. Sometimes auditions don't even get listened to. So,
right.
There's a statistical advantage to that. And so if you're a part-timer trying to come into voiceover, you're like, well, that's not fair. Well, so it is fair because the people who've put in the work and who've hustled and who've gotten to where they can be full-time in voiceover, they deserve that. So it is fair. It's just, you feel like you've just learned to say it's not fair whenever it doesn't work well for you. So it's, you know, that's what three-year-olds say. That's not fair. Yes, I had to tell my kids at one point, quit. You're not allowed to ever say fair again. Stop saying that. You don't even know what it means. Until you learn what it means, quit saying that's not fair. It's totally fair. You're punished because you did something bad. That's fair. That's 100% what fair means. So anyway, I'm rambling.
No, it's fine. Going to the video game side of it, your probably most well-known role is Hand Unit.
Oh my gosh, yes.
But what was the role that where you saw that script and you read for it and it just kind of like resonated with you, where you were like, oh, this is me inside and out, where you just felt that character?
You know, it's funny. Nobody's ever even heard of it, but there was, I got cast, there were some students doing a student film and they had a budget, you know, for voiceover. It wasn't much, but they had a budget for the characters. Usually, you know, if you're majoring in production of animation or video games or film or whatever, you scrape up some money. Maybe your mom gives you some, or maybe you do a GoFundMe, or maybe your department grants some or whatever. But they had money for a voice actor, and it was a wizard who was trying to discover the secret to eternal life. It's the old story. There's a million stories of people searching for the fountain of youth, of the secret to youth, and all that. There's great Isaac Asimov science fiction stories that kind of focus on that too. And he had a little girl, And he was, you know, so you had to be a dad and talk to the little girl, but you also had this obsession with finding the secret to eternal life. But his little girl had the power to see into the future. But, and she kept looking into the future, and every time he was dead. Every time he was dead. And so, and she, this poor little girl didn't want to keep looking in the future and seeing her dad dead. And so, but he was like making her do it because he needed to see if he had discovered the secret to eternal life. So it was this great character with such a great deep backstory on this guy. And it was a lot of fun. The animation turned out to be kind of crappy and, you know, nothing like that. But the role itself, me just immersing myself into it and being an actor was really fun. I get those every now and then. The fun ones are the ones that have either a cool character or they're funny. Sometimes a commercial is a fun script. You know, if the character's good or if the dialogue is just funny.
Oh yeah.
I did a commercial that I really liked and I share it with my students. Well, first I share the script with my students and we all go over it and try to do it and all. But it was a commercial for Capriati's, which is a sandwich place up in the Northeast, I guess. We don't have them down here in the South. And it was two guys on a mountaintop. The wind was howling. You know, they were at death's door. They were about to die on this mountaintop. So of course, their last thoughts drift to their favorite sandwiches at Capriati's, and so the whole conversation was about that. But the commercial was so rich with all the little things, the body language, and the improvising, and the sounding like a regular guy, and the digging into the backstory just for this sandwich commercial. That it was so rich in that it was really fun to do. And it's why I share it with my class. But what was really fun was that the directors had fun with it. They were like, hey, let me hear your idea on this. Can you just come up with a line that you think ought to go there? And you're like, yeah, I think I got something. And so what was it? It was like, I think the first line was like, oh my God, I don't think we're going to make it. And the wind's howling and, you know, and the other guy's like, oh, you know, we're going to die and all this. And say, you know, I wish I could have had one more capistrami sandwich. And the other guy's like, you go to, oh my gosh, that's so good. And so I just improv the line. I know, right? And they thought that line was so hilarious. I mean, I know, right? They thought that was exactly what that thing needed. They were like cutting the commercial down to get I know, right, to fit in there, you know, and it was just, and it was little things like that. The other guy got to improv. I was in Mississippi. He was in New York. The producers were, I don't know, Vegas, I think. And it was just, those live ones are always so fun when there's other actors on there too. And you get to play off each other. They're always fun.
Right. Are you still in Mississippi?
I moved from Mississippi to El Paso, Texas with the Army. And then we sold our house and our kids all moved away because they're all grown. And we could go anywhere. And my wife said, I want to be near my parents for the season in life. They're getting old. They're not always going to be around. So we moved back to my hometown in Louisiana. It's 20,000 people. Natchitoches, Louisiana. It's 4 hours from Dallas. It's not near anything. It is certainly not a voiceover hub. But it's amazing that I can make a solid six-figure income from anywhere. Yeah. In fact, I'm thinking I may need to get an RV with one of those garages in the back and just put me a booth in there and just wherever, as long as the internet's good enough.
My brother and I were just talking about that because he's Navy and you know how they do like those auctions because like after 10 years, they can no longer use the vehicles because mm-hmm. They're deemed quote unquote unsafe, but mostly because the Army warranty expires on it.
Yeah.
So we're thinking about going and get one of those big vans and putting a booth in it so that way we can just travel around and I can record.
Is he a voice actor also?
No, he's an animator.
He just, oh, nice. Yeah, I've been looking at it, and I think I'm going to buy a pretty new one. And I like to pay cash for things I don't like to borrow, but I think I'll borrow on this just because it's a business expense. And if I don't like it in a year, I can sell it, and I won't have just locked up all of my money instead. You know, my money can still be gaining interest while I'm paying a note on that. Because I'm not going to, you could borrow an RV on like a 20-year note sometimes. I don't know that I would do that. But you know, I'm not going to keep one for that long anyway. So I don't know. I'm still examining the best financial plan on that. But anyway, back to your question, you know, there's always so much fun, and it's anytime I can interact with people, it's great. And anytime there's a good character, it's great. And so like, The other day I was doing a, I think it was an announcement for like a conference. So it was basically a corporate narration. It was like, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this. And are you, you know, this company has done this, this, and this, you know, and it paid fine. It paid a ridiculous amount of money for what? 30 minutes of work, 10 minutes of work, whatever it was. But they were like, we want a movie trailer voice, which is funny because I've not invested any time or money in trailer, in coaching or anything like that, because there's like 12 guys that do all the trailers in Hollywood and they're not even making movies right now. So it's just not worth your time to focus your effort on learning how to be a good trailer voiceover. So everything I do is just an imitation in trailer, right? You know, it's like in a world, that's what they want.
Right.
And so I was doing like the Terminator style trailer, like this conference, blah, 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 action, blah, 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 and badass and music, hot, fast cars and hot women, that kind of feel. And at the end of it, the producer's like, that was awesome. And the clients were like, I don't know. Could you put like a little more smile in it? So I was like, you know, this conference, it's awesome. And, you know, the best way to put smile in it is to smile. So it's right, awesome. Right. And at the end, the producer's like, exactly. That's exactly what we wanted. And the client was like, well, we just need it to be a little more cheerful, still that energetic. And I'm like, you guys want a Disney trailer? And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, from the makers of The Little Mermaid. And they're like, that's it. That's the trailer for you. That's it. So it's fun also to just kind of know what you can do and kind of help. Right. A lot of times the client doesn't really know what they want or they can't articulate it. Or sometimes they say, we don't know what we want, but we'll know it when we hear it. So, which is, so being able to deliver to somebody, to make them happy, to make their day better, that's, even if it's not a character, it's still a lot of fun to be able to do that.
And I'm familiar with you as a person, and I'm familiar with your work, but I'm not super familiar about your coaching. What exactly do you teach about the voiceover world?
Because there are so many different forms. Coaches that I go to. So I go to quite a few coaches too. So I was not an actor. Right. I fell into this, and then I will forevermore be becoming an actor. I'm coaching with, I think, three people right now, two or three all the time. I think I've got somebody else I'm going to hire next week just for a little one-off coach. But I teach a class called The Business of Voiceover. Okay. And really, you could learn almost everything I learned the same way I did, just reading your butt off, going to all the Facebook groups, trial and error, doing stupid things.
Right.
It's really just a compilation of, hey, here's how in 16 weeks you can know everything I knew in the first 3 years. And it really gets you on I wouldn't keep teaching it if people didn't keep saying it was awesome. I mean, people keep referring it. And you met several of my students.
Yeah.
Who did it. You know, it's just, you know, one of the early classes is about demos. That's such an important part to your voiceover thing. And it's so important to do that right that, you know, so the class is 16 weeks. So probably on the third or fourth or fifth at the latest class meeting is when we talk demos, because everything else refers back to the demo, right? Like when you're marketing and you find a company on LinkedIn that makes video games and you're like, hey, I would like to work with you. But then the next sentence is, here's my demo, right? It's gotta be, you've got to have a demo.
Right.
Or if you want to make commercials with this company, you found a digital media production company in New Jersey that makes great stuff. And you're like, hey, I would love to be on your roster if you had one. Here's my demo. You've got to say, here's my demo. You can't just say, I'm new at voiceover. I'm really good at this. And you better not send them a homemade one.
Right.
Or a $200 one or a $500 one. So that's, unless you're just one of those remarkable people. And if you're listening to this, I'm almost positive you're not one of those remarkable people who's been able to self-produce a world-class demo.
Like Ian Russell.
I don't know if Ian can, but I've met people who can. Chris McCann started out making his own demos and they got better and better and better. And Paul Cartwright started out, I think he said it was the seventh or eighth iteration of his demo that was good enough finally to send to an agent. But we all made the mistake of sending the bad demo out.
Right.
I sent a homemade demo that was 3.5 minutes long with bad accents in it, with like 5 different genres of voiceover in it. I sent it to every agent I could find an email address on. I'm talking the big ones in LA, everybody, and all the little ones everywhere else. And then one of them, bless her heart, and I say that the way we Southerners say it, but this time in a good way. She emailed me back and she said, "You're doing this wrong. This needs to be a minute long. You need to have your strong stuff up front and needs to have all one genre in it." So I tweaked it, still made a crappy homemade demo, 1 minute long, sent it again out to every agent. But I did pick up a couple of little regional agents from that. And then I ended up booking a $7,000 commercial my first year in voiceover. I thought that was normal. I thought I was going to get those all the time after that. It was years before I got another $7,000 gig. But I just thought, you know, I think I made $13,000 my first year in voiceover, including a $7,000 commercial, which if you're listening to this, that's really, really rare. So just imagine I made $6,000 my first year in voiceover. It was really, that was, but that still comes out to an average of $500 a month. So as a teacher, it was a godsend. I mean, I actually was paying all my bills, all of them, you know, not just deciding which month I was, you know, which bill I was going to skip this month, you know, juggling them around. So it was something, but then it started, you know, I was able to get more done.
Gotcha. So what do you do outside of that extremely well-made booth?
Like for fun, I guess.
Like what do you do to get out of work? Like what do you do for fun? What?
We got a house that we maintain now. So there's always like yard work and things like that. But for fun, I just bought a boat recently and, and man, it's awesome. It's got a stars and stripes on the side of it. So my kids, we all had a naming contest and the name they came up with for the boat is the Liberty Bell, B-E-L-L-E, you know, cause we're in the South too. So there were bells, women are bells here in the South. And so the Liberty Bell, but it's this big old ski boat. So I just drove it up to Missouri recently and we skied all over Table Rock Lake in it and all that. So that's kind of my latest, but I kind of go through phases, you know, like right now I'm on this RV kick. I'm thinking I'm going to have to buy. In fact, when I bought the truck that was big enough to pull the boat, I kind of bought a truck that was going to be big enough to pull an RV. And so I'm already kind of, my wife doesn't know that's why I bought a truck so big, but that's that was what that was for. So I'm already kind of going on that. We spend a lot of time with family. My daughter's getting married in 3 weeks. So right now that is dominating our lives. Oh my gosh. And it's a destination wedding and up in Arkansas. So it was having to, well, my wife's planning it, but having to assist her with planning and preparing and just getting ready for that. I mean, that's, trust me, I'm not even mentioning an RV to my wife until after the wedding. But we're happy with that. Weddings are cool, you know, if you trust your kids to pick out the right life partner, it's great. Right. This young man's a good young man. We're happy to have him in the family. So it's going to be awesome.
Awesome, man. So if you were to right now, current Andy Field, you were to write yourself a letter and send that back in time to when you started teaching, what would that letter say?
When did I start teaching? In 98. That's if I could send it back to, you know, Andy Field that had 5 years experience in teaching, I would say the internet is awesome. Get into voiceover. in 98, man, I don't know. I definitely would warn myself, look, man, teaching is not going to be all it's cracked up to be. You're going to hate it. You're going to take enough breaks from it that you're never going to retire from it. Even if you do retire from it, you're going to be poor as a retiree. I mean, you're going to work all your life so that you can make, you know, a meager salary when you're retired. And money, you know, I had to think about this. So I'm going to send this email back to 1997 when Andy Field graduated college with a bachelor's degree in education and was offered a full-time job making $17,500 a year. I'm going to say, look, right now you're idealistic. Money doesn't mean anything. But there comes a point where it is a little important. That sounds shallow, but there comes a point where it is a little important. You can say, I'm not going to want to keep up with the Joneses. I don't care if my neighbor's got a new car. I don't care if they went on vacation to wherever and all that. But there comes a point where you do kind of care because you're a teacher. You're smart And there were people who were dumber than you who were making five times the money you make. They don't worry about money whatsoever. And you don't realize when you're 20, how much stress money causes in your life. If you are disciplined enough to live poor and pay all your bills and invest in a 401k and do like Dave Ramsey says, live like no one else so that later you can live like no one else. But I would tell 20-year-old me, you're not going to be that disciplined. You're going to spend it all every month, no matter how much you make. I was idealistic, and I thought, man, I'm going to love teaching. I'm going to be a teacher one day and all this. And the other thing is, I would tell myself is, you have no idea how hard that job is. When you're a teacher, you're trapped. You're not trapped, but if that's all you've ever done, you just don't really know. You don't have a moment for yourself. Like, I talked to friends of mine. I've talked to a friend who's a banker. I'm like, you know how sometimes you sit at work and for a minute you just think about where you're going to go on vacation this year, or you think about something that you want to do, or maybe you think about a project you want to do, whether that's buying an old car and fixing it up, or you want to build a deck, or you want to, paint the bathroom or whatever. You don't get a minute to sit and think about that when you're a teacher. There's no thinking about that. I had a 20-minute lunch break. I had to take the kids to the lunchroom. If I needed to call the bank, I'd step out of the lunchroom while I was eating something with my hand and call in the bank on my cell phone. This is when we had cell phones. Before that, you had to do it in the teacher's lounge where there was a phone. Mm-hmm. And you just don't have a minute. And that's from 7-something in the morning to 4-something in the afternoon. And then you go home and you grade papers and you write lesson plans. It is a hard, hard job. And then you're off for 2 months in the summer. Who the heck is going to hire you for 2 months, right? What are you going to do for 2 months? That's why teachers always have lawn mowing services and they paint houses and things like that, because you can do that. But I would tell myself, you this is going to be hard, and this is why it's going to be hard. Would I hear that from myself and give up on teaching? Maybe not. I don't know. I really do like to teach and I really do like kids. But I might have put more focus into developing a solid side hustle besides the National Guard, which is what that was my side hustle for the first many years. And it pays okay. You know, it added another, I don't know, $9,000 a year to my income those first few years. So it was all right.
Gotcha, man. Well, this has been awesome. Thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
I really hope you enjoyed listening to Andy's journey from military and teaching to being recognized as one of the most prominent characters in pop culture today. If you'd like to know more about Andy or book him for coaching, you can visit his website at www.andyfieldvoiceover.com. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop. For more information on guests, new episodes, and more, be sure to visit www.vocoffeeshop.com.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Prime Day es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
¡Wow! ¡Gracias! Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.